Well, joining me now in studio for further interrogation of the trading day that was is Rob Tull from Sasfin Securities. Rob, thanks so much for joining us today. So we've had markets pretty subdued amidst all that's been going out, and I outlined some of it with Ranzo a short while ago. How are you feeling, you know, at this stage of the game about the global economy and where things are, in fact, headed?
So there's a lot of news in the markets geopolitically as well as on the earnings side and company news specific, especially in South Africa. So, you know, we're cautious at the moment, but we think that, you know, our poor GDP print in the first quarter, you know, is over and cleared now, and we think that we'll see a slight better improvement going forward locally. So we're just taking a look at the market. You know, you want to keep buying at the right prices, get the stocks at the right prices, and, you know, it's been quite a volatile few days in the market. Last week as well, we saw, you know, it sell off in the emerging markets. So, you know, we think that it's a difficult time in volatility wise, but there is opportunity still in the market.
Certainly encouraging some of that volatility is, you know, the kind of commentary emerging on the global market scene, because while we've had some encouraging economic data filtered through, you know, in developed markets like the US, we've had IMF chief Christine Lagarde warning that clouds over the global economy are getting darker by the day on the back of President Donald Trump's America First trade policy. So that, one assumes, throwing quite a spanner in the works.
It is, and it's difficult when the IMF comes out and says statements like that. But what you have to keep a favor with is when you invest in, and you invest in for the long term, so try stay away from the noise, still look at good quality companies with good, strong management, and then, you know, carry on investing through that cycle. So sometimes it's difficult when you hear this from the IMF, when you see Trump, you know, fighting with his own with the G7, putting tariffs in. So it is a difficult time, but you have to stay disciplined and carry on investing.
So take us through some of your strategy at the moment to cushion against that potential risk that sits on the horizon. What's your approach?
So, you know, when you get quite a lot of volatility like this, you have shares that sell off, you get valuations start to come back down. So holding a little bit of cash is not a problem at during these times. And then, you know, when you get the right opportunity, if there's a very big sell-off during a week or 2 week period, you can start to pick up really good quality companies. So, you know, you get a list of the companies that you're looking for, maybe some of the banks that are close to single-digit PEs, some of the insurance companies, some really good retailers like a ShopRite, mm-hmm. and you look for the right entry point.
So you're very company-specific right now as opposed to broad-based sector-specific.
Very company specific. Obviously, you will have your sectors as well. You know, mining is a problem in South Africa at the moment. We're waiting for that mining charter. Mm-hmm. But maybe you do want to have some funds on the side. You know, if that mining charter comes out positive for South Africa, you'd want to look at that as well. You know, on the mining side, we'll prefer diversified miners rather than an individual commodity miner. So you have nuances within that as well.
Okay. Let's hone in on some of the companies that were out today with a few announcements. We had British American Tobacco firming, and that on the back of the group saying that it remains on track for another good year of adjusted constant currency earnings growth. Are you encouraged by BAT right now? Of course, standing as quite a firm rand hedge.
Yes, it's done. I think it's down 30% over about 6 months, so it's been very weak. Along with other tobacco stocks around the world. It's starting to show really good value. It's single-digit PEs. They've got very strong cash flows. So we like British American Tobacco at these lower levels. You don't have to pile in here at the moment. But, yeah, the numbers were good. They haven't changed any of their guidance mm-hmm. going forward. You know, still selling hundreds of thousands or millions of cigarettes across the world. And if you take a look at their statement, you see Pakistan growing, even the U.S. growing, so they actually sold more cigarettes in the U.S. than they have in previous quarters before, which is quite interesting. For most people think that the Western world, you know, they've always got negative sales. So that's not the case there. And they've got really strong brands. So those strong brands are still taking market share. So
and also
all in
a
all,
company
a
that's leveraging off the benefit of the U.S. tax reform, which is helping to significantly fund increased investment in some of the next generation products that are having to come online as a result of that slippage we are seeing in sales.
Yeah, so they want to increase the next generation sales by double by the end of this year. So it'll be up to £1 billion. So, you know, it started from a small base, but it's starting to get traction. And if those next generation cigarettes do take off, There's a whole nother growth section for the businesses. So we're looking quite closely at that.
Yeah. When we were chatting off air, you also mentioned the fact that, yes, we've seen the share price falling by about a quarter over the past year, but that as a result of it having stood as a proxy for fixed income investors.
Yeah. So what happens when the interest rates are very low, near zero overseas, some of the fixed income guys will buy into a very high cash generative business, like some of the breweries, some of the tobacco companies, to get the yield. With a very strong cash flow, and as interest rates start to move up again, they start to go back into their fixed income products. They start to sell those pseudo bonds, as they call them. So we've seen a big flow out of British American Tobacco and similar type of companies over the last 3 or 4 months.
Okay, so that explaining some of the decline that we have seen this year. I want to take a quick look at Grand Parade. It's appointed a new permanent chief financial officer, and we've seen that share price leap. I guess, with that appointment stripping out a lot of the uncertainty that sat at the executive level with both the CFO and the CEO having effectively jumped ship.
Yeah, so I think the CEO was only there for 1 year when she left, so that was quite a surprise to the market. It left the whole company quite uncertain. It's not a company we look at too often, but they do have really strong brands. They've got Burger King, they've got Dunkin' Donuts, they've now got Baskin Robbins, which is the ice cream brand. So they sit in with a really good set of products and brands that they can push out, and I think that the investment community is waiting for some type of some kind of movement forward, to really get that going. And they've lacked a little bit of capital, and maybe now new management will try to push that forward.
Yeah, but still announcing that it's met its contractual obligation to open 80 Burger King outlets ahead of deadline. Amidst it all, what's your stock pick right now, Rob?
Well, we've seen quite a big sell-off in some of the South African-centric businesses. So we've seen some of our retailers come down quite aggressively. We've seen Bidvest come down quite a lot as well. I think with the GDP really being very negative last quarter, I think we can see improvement there. So I think on those type of companies you can take a look at. Bidvest has come down quite substantially over the last few weeks, so I think you could still take a look at Bidvest.
Okay, and of course, Bid Corporation, the top performing player on the top 40 index today with its 2.8% climb. Let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Rob, for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Rob Tull is with Sasfin Securities. Welcome back to Taking Stock, and we're taking a look at what's dominating global news headlines now. So it's over to Bronwyn for that.
Thanks, Alicia. Well, the North Korea summit is done and dusted. The meeting, which took place just less than an hour, ended with North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un and U.S. President Donald Trump signing a joint document, which Trump described as pretty comprehensive. So let's get into the detail of that with Janelle Dumoulin from Deutsche Welle. Janelle, thanks so much for your time today. So some analysts are saying that the key point to take from that document is the commitment to denuclearization. How are people on your end reading this?
To be honest, with a difficulty. Now, the agreement is pretty light on substance, especially with regard to denuclearization. There's no timeline identified, very little by way of implementation details. So ahead of the summit, analysts were already warning that differing definitions of denuclearization could lead to a mismatch of expectations. So for the U.S., the denuclearization would mean that North Korea dismantled its nuclear program. But for North Korea, the denuclearization also involves the removal of a threat of a nuclear threat to North Korea and the ending of U.S.'s strategic security alliances in the region. Because that hasn't been clarified, investor reaction has been pretty muted. The best assessment of this agreement so far is that it is a step in a long process and that it's much too early to declare obvious failure a success.
Well, we have to see how that all plays out. In the meantime, we've had IMF MD Christine Lagarde say that the risks to the global economy are rising due to the threat of a trade war. And we've seen that filter through to investor morale in Germany already, with the ZEW indicator slumping to a near six-year low today.
Indeed. Now, Christine Lagarde made those comments on the back of the chaos of the G7 summit, where Donald Trump, of course, insulted allies and ratcheted up the trade-related saber-rattling. And now she's also saying that ahead of the release of the final list of Chinese goods to be targeted by U.S. tariffs, which is due on Friday. And of course, this is on the minds of investors. While they seemed to shrug off the disastrous G7 summit in everyday trading, much longer term, of course, they're much more anxious. That business confidence monitor you mentioned shows that German investors are quite downbeat when it comes to assessing the current economic situation as well as the outlook in the months to come, especially as the threat of tariffs on Germany's biggest export, cars, looms large.
And yet, despite those low confidence levels, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development has released a report that shows that economic growth in Germany is robust, with expectations for a 2.1% expansion this year and next. So how do we marry these two reports from the ZEW and from the OECD?
So worries about investor morale in Germany are certainly real, but it has to be said that in the ZEW figures, you also have the reading being much worse in terms of investor confidence towards the rest of the Eurozone than just for Germany. So you have anxiety about the neighbors also feeding into those numbers, especially, for example, with regard to the Italian government's commitment to the euro. So that's one way to explain the disparity between low investor morale in Germany and the relatively positive outlook of the German economy in general. But it also is worth noting that the OECD statement was a nudge for Germany to spend more of its budget surplus at home, to spend more on domestic investment, to import more, and in that way address the complaints from other countries that Germany is exacerbating its problems with trade deficits like the U.S. And as such, that would be Germany's contribution to combating the protectionism and heading off the trade war it so fears.
Janelle, we've unfortunately run out of time, so let's leave it there for today. Janelle Dumoulin is from Deutsche Welle, and that's a wrap of your global news headlines. It's back to you, Alicia.
Thanks, Bronwyn, and that's where I leave things with you for now as well. Don't forget to tune in, though, at 25 past 5 tomorrow afternoon when we broadcast the inaugural South African-listed Tracker Fund Awards. After the break, though, it's Rafi Review, and I'll see you back at 7 o'clock. What's your stock pick right now, Rob?
Well, we've seen quite a big sell-off in some of the South African-centric businesses. So we've seen some of our retailers come down quite aggressively. We've seen Bidvest come down quite a lot as well. I think with the GDP really being very negative last quarter, I think we can see an improvement there. So I think on those type of companies you can take a look at. Bidvest come down quite substantially over the last few weeks, so I think you could still take a look at Bidvest.
Okay, and of course, Bid Corporation, the top performing player on the top 40 index today with its 2.8% climb. Let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Rob, for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Rob Tal is with Sasfin Securities.